Our next guest is on a quest to find the world's strangest sounds, from sand dunes that sing to an oil tank with the world's longest reverberation. He says the world is full of sonic wonders, and we're hearing one right now. This is music played on the Great Stalactpipe organ in Virginia, which I'm guessing is made out of stones or something like that.
He also says that by unraveling the mysteries of these sonic wonders, there's a lot we can learn about sound and about the world around us.
Well, joining us now is Trevor Cox. He's a professor of acoustic engineering at the University of Salford in England, and he's the author of The Sound Book, The Science of Sonic Wonders of the World. Trevor, thanks for joining us today.
Great to join you.
Now, you're an acoustic engineer, so I think it's probably fair to say that you know a lot about how sound behaves. Yet you had an epiphany about sound when you were in a sewer. Now, how did that happen?
Yeah, I think a lot of acoustic engineering is spent sort of trying to deal with problems like, I don't know, noise and, you know, how to design classrooms which sound good. And what happened in the sewer was I heard a very remarkable sound. I heard the sound spiraling around the inside. I mean, the sewer is cylindrical shape and the sound seemed to cling to the walls. And it kind of made me think that, actually, as well as thinking about, you know, how to design things to sound better, I ought to celebrate the most remarkable sounds of the world. And that sent me on a quest to find them.
Now, it's interesting, though, in a sewer that you would do that. I mean, you'd think your smell would take control in a situation like that.
The smell was pretty dominant. I mean, it wouldn't be a place I would normally go. Funny enough, I was asked to do a radio interview to comment on the acoustics, which took me down there.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a place I should be going to again, I can tell you that.
Well, that's good. Now, could you talk a little bit about what you mean exactly by sonic wonder?
Well, I think it's something that you kind of know when you meet what it is. It's something which stands out as being unusual, something which, you know, makes you go, wow. I mean, you mentioned that oil tank in Scotland. I mean, that actually now has a world record, so that makes it stand out as being remarkable. And some of them are because, you know, they just so unusual. Like, you're playing this great stalactpipe organ there, which is made out of cave formations.
Wow.
And only one of those in the world, so rare things are also sonic wonders.
So that's made out of you know, sort of the cave formations.
Yeah, it's made out of the stalactites. Back in the 1950s, an engineer decided to make them. And there's actually an organ keyboard in there. And every time you strike one of the keys, it taps one of these stalactites with a little hammer. And therefore, you can play tunes on it.
Do you think that people take sound for granted because we're more visually oriented most of the time?
I think that's certainly true, that in the modern world we communicate so much with vision, you know, by reading and looking at imagery, that I think we do take sound more for granted. And one of the things I talk about in the sound book is actually the importance of us thinking about sound. I mean, take, for example, when we go and see prehistoric sites, ancient sites, our ancestors would have seen sound as being more important. You know, would have seen the senses more on the round. So when you go to a stone circle, unless you think about the sound of that place, you're kind of missing a bit of the story.
So you kind of feel like you're trying to open up people's minds so they're more aware of it, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's pleasure to be had. In the same way as you might go into the countryside and look at a beautiful view, there's pleasure to be had in hearing unusual and pleasurable sounds. So I think I'm just trying to make people think that sometimes it's nice to take your MP3 headphones off and listen to the world.
It sounds like you're a little bit of a pioneer in this area, because when you went out to research the sonic wonders of the world, you weren't able to really find a whole lot of work that other people had done, right?
Yeah, that was what kind of surprised me when I got out of the sewer. I thought of this idea of looking for remarkable sounds. I went online. I thought, that's bound to be loads of websites doing this. But actually, no, there wasn't any. So I set a one up, which is actually still there, called sonicwonders.org, where I asked people to give me suggestions of places I should visit. So, yeah, there's a bit of pioneering going on.
Yes. Now, did a lot of people dive in and give you ideas?
Yeah, I mean, particularly now the book's out, there's quite a lot of new ideas coming up on the website that I'll have to sort of pencil in to try and see. But, no, it took quite a lot of research as well. I mean, you take something like simple like an echo. So echoes are great fun to play with. But actually finding out about them is quite difficult, because people don't write about them very much nowadays. Go back to Victorian times, loads of people, natural historians, natural philosophers were writing about them, but not anymore. So actually finding out ones which are currently working now is quite difficult.
So natural historians would write about echoes in the Victorian times?
Yeah, in the same way as you might sort of decide to collect butterflies, people would go and collect echoes. It was that sort of thing going on.
Really?
Yeah, they would write about it. So these people who were writing, observing the natural world would observe echoes as well and write about those.
Wow. Well, why don't we listen to an echo that you discovered, which is the one that I think is the world record. This is the oil storage complex in Scotland, right? Is that the one?
Oh, I thought you were going to play it. Yes, this is an oil storage depot which was built just before the start of World War II to protect the Royal Navy shipping oil from German bombing. So it's in the side of a hill near a little place called Inchendown, which is right at the top of Scotland.
Okay, so we'll listen to this sound in that oil storage complex in Scotland. Here we go. Now, that sound, could you explain it? The sound is a gun going off in an oil storage tank, right?
Yeah, it's just a huge concrete vault. So when you go into it, I mean, it's a couple of football pitches long. It's very tall and very wide. I mean, you can't really see this because there's no lighting in it.
Right.
So you've just got what your head torch can see. But, yeah, it's just a huge, great volume of concrete, concrete cavern. And to measure it, to get what's called the reverberation time, which is actually what we're measuring there, we fire a gun. It's kind of quite a common, quick and easy way to measure it, particularly as this place has no mains electricity, so there's nothing more clever we can do.
Right.
And that time it takes the sound to die away in a concert hall is really important for the orchestral sound. It would take a couple of seconds. In that oil tank, it takes over a minute for the sound to die away to nothing.
Wow, so if you just stood there and listened to that gun, it would go on for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, if you went and got a nice bass instrument out, if you were to get out something like a tuba or a trombone, it would go on for a couple of minutes. It really does. The sound just lasts an incredibly long time in that space.
Now, this thing used to be used to store oil. Were you concerned about shooting a gun off in there?
There were some various safety discussions, one of which is, there's no door to these places. It wasn't designed to be got into, so you have to go down the oil pipe. So there was a discussion about
really?
The safety. Yeah, you have to be put on a trolley and pushed through the old oil pipes. And the only people who normally used to do this were the people in the army who had to, unfortunately, go in when they had to repair the place. But so there's no door. And, there was a discussion about what the flash point was of shipping oil and whether the gun would set it off. But it's safe enough. The oil is not that flammable.
So you're pretty serious about this business, then? You're not afraid?
No, it's quite interesting. People have remarked on some of these intrepid trips. I just kind of did them, really, without really thinking about them. It's only in retrospect it seems that, I've been down a sewer, I've been into deserts, I've been into oil depots. I have been to some very strange places on my travels.
We're going to play some more of those as we talk about this, just to let people know who you are and everything. This is Trevor Cox. He's a professor of acoustic engineering at the University of Salford, and he wrote the sound book, The Science of the Sonic Wonders of the World. We're talking about the sonic wonders of the world with him. In just a few minutes, we'll give you a chance. If you have any ideas for interesting sounds that you'd like to let Trevor Cox know about, we'll give you a chance to call in and participate in that conversation. But first, I want to listen to another interesting place that so we go from an oil tank that you had to crawl into to a spy station, the Teufelsberg spy station in Germany. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, it's on the outskirts of Western Berlin. So when after World War II, they had a lot of rubble in Berlin. Of course, Berlin was blockaded. Western Berlin was blockaded. So they made a hill, which is Teufelsberg, called Devil's Mountain, a huge, great hill of the rubble. And on the top of it, they stuck a spy station where the Allies used to spy on East Germany and Russia. So up on top of this derelict spy station, there is spherical rooms. And what these rooms used to have inside them, they used to have antennae to all the spy equipment used to be in them. And these sort of these dome shapes have the most amazing acoustics. They weren't designed for those acoustics, but they do have amazing acoustics. So a musician suggested I should go there, and so I visited it. It's quite a derelict and disused place. You have to sign when you go to the place to say that you realize there's lots of holes in the place and you could kill yourself if you fell off the edges. Provided
wow.
You're safe, it has got the most amazing acoustic.
But you decided not to shoot a gun there, though.
Well, I was on my family holidays, and in Europe you don't carry guns around, so I took balloons with me. So, yeah, I mean, actually carrying a starting pistol for, say, Inchendown, there's quite a lot of rules in Britain about
That's true.
You can and cannot do.
They'd stop you at the border, I think. So let's listen to the sound of a balloon being popped at the spy station in Germany. Here we go. Wow. So that was just one balloon?
That's one balloon. Every single ricochet you heard is a focused echo. So the sound, I was stood in the middle of the dome there, and the sound was going up, and because the dome's a big concave surface, it's like a sort of shaving mirror, like a concave shaving mirror. It focuses the sound all the way back to you, and you get these repeated paths going back and forth, and that's what those ricochets are.
Wow, that's fascinating. We're talking with Trevor Cox about the sonic wonders of the world. We'll hear some more of them in just a few minutes, but you can join the conversation too. Do you know of some places that have a particularly interesting sound that you'd like to share with Trevor Cox? Because he is keeping track of these kind of things. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Have you ever been to a place where the sound completely blew you away? What was different about it? You can tell us about that and your experience from experiencing interesting sounds. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with acoustic engineer Trevor Cox about the sonic wonders of the world, the places where sound behaves in unusual and sometimes amazing ways. And you can join with your comments and questions at 800-642-1234. You want to share an interesting sound that you've heard in an interesting place? Feel free to do that. You can join that conversation at 800-642-1234. Trevor Cox has been in some interesting places. Earlier, he told us how he went into an oil tank with a gun and fired it to hear the longest echo in the world. He was at a spy station in Germany. And this is just really part of your quest, right, Trevor, to find interesting sounds all over the place and visit them, really.
Yeah, I suppose what I really wanted to do was to celebrate sound. I think when a lot of books have been written recently about how noise is a terrible problem with modern world, and that's true, but I wanted something which was a bit celebratory because sound is so important to us.
It's true. I mean, that is true, that a lot of times people complain about noise. You don't hear about people saying, wow, that's a really great sound. Keep making it.
Yeah, I think we do with music, but beyond that, we don't. So, and there's pleasure to be had even with just the everyday sounds. I mean, at the moment, you know, last month or so, you know, spring has awoken in England, and suddenly all the birds are out singing, and it's obviously a beautiful sound, which, being a natural sound, is also quite good for us.
Now, since a number of people listening to the show are driving around, we thought it would be good to share one sound before we go to the calls, because we do have tons of people on the phone we want to talk to and get on before we say goodbye to you, Trevor. And I want to listen to a musical highway. Could you tell us a little bit about this whole musical highway thing? I wasn't aware of it.
Yes, this is across in California. It's just outside a city called Lancaster. And it's grooves cut in the road which plays tunes when you drive across it. So you might have been down a highway where you've hit a rumble strip which is buzzed at you.
Uh-huh.
And that's caused by bumps and grooves. Well, what this musical road does is, it sometimes the grooves are spaced far apart to give you a low note, and sometimes they're spaced close together to give you a high note, and together it forms a tune.
Well, let's listen to that. Wow, that's a musical highway from California. Now, Trevor, that seems like that would be a little disturbing if you weren't aware of it.
Yeah, the funny thing is, they built it first in another place in Lancaster, rather near some houses. And as you can imagine, if you live near that, listening to that all day, and drive you potty. So they moved it later on. So that's actually the second version of the musical road of Lancaster.
Oh, my. Well, we need to go to the phones. We have a lot of people who want to talk to you about sounds and stuff. So, again, if anybody else wants to join the conversation, the number is 800-642-1234. Let's start off with Don in Williams Bay. Don, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, hi. The sound I wanted to bring up is in Barstow, California. It's along the old Route 66, I believe, but it's a huge train terminal in the valley down there. And in the evening, having passed through there outside my hotel room, I heard this slow moaning sound. And my buddy and I were surprised by the sound. We had asked what that was. And it's the trains just slowly being positioned in the valley, but it echoes through the valley, and it's the most eerie sound. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, Don, thanks for that call. Trevor, I think you've actually written a little bit about this whole thing, right?
Yeah, the thing with low frequencies is that they can travel huge distances, especially if the weather conditions are right. You know, if you hear, I don't know, an outside festival, from a distance, it's just the bass you really hear. And these sounds are kind of quite hard to place where they're coming from, and they're quite hard to hear what they are. And so they do take this eerie quality on them. So there has been report, you know, there's lots of regular reports about unknown mysterious noises. So your guys done really well to actually find out what it is, because often the cause is unknown.
Well, let's go to Russ in Lodi. Russ, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, guys. I've got a couple of interesting sounds that we hear on a daily basis. I work on water utilities, especially on elevated water towers. And it's what's interesting is when we are inside the water tower working, we cannot talk to each other, even in the slightest, lowest tones, without leaving 4 or 5 seconds between each word. And so
between each word?
Because the echoes overlap each other, and you cannot make out one word from another at all, speaking normally. So I'll give you an example. When you're standing next to a guy in a water tower, you have to speak this slowly, or you cannot understand what he's saying.
Wow, that's amazing. Trevor, have you ever been in a water tower before?
I've certainly been in places, not water towers, that are like that. I think of actually the Hamilton Mausoleum up near Glasgow, which is kind of a similar kind of shape to a water tower. And yes, when you've got that very strong reverberance, so the words run one into the other, the only way you can make it intelligible is either to get very close to the person you're talking to and talk into their ear, literally, or you have to space the words out to give time for that, the sound to die away so you can hear each separate word properly.
Now, Ted, did you have another example from your work in water utilities?
Exactly. The other one, normally we use radios or cell phones to talk to the ground. But when we're in the tank, we know that the ground crew can hear us through the overflow pipe, and it might be 200 feet long of 10-inch pipe. And you can speak in a normal tone just like this, 40 feet away from the overflow pipe, and the guy on the ground can be within 3 or 4 feet of it and hear you perfectly clearly. And then he can talk to you back up through the pipe. And if he raises his voice, it's unbelievably loud inside the water tower. But the phenomenon is that guy speaking on the ground does not reverberate in the tower. You can hear him normally, and when you talk, your words overlap, but they come out the pipe normal.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a really interesting phenomenon that the pipe will grab the words and pipe them down to the ground without the reverberation.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Now, Trevor Cox, can you explain that from an acoustic engineer perspective?
Well, I think the first thing about the tube is that sound will carry a long way in pipe work, because normally when we talk outside, the sound's going off in all directions and it disperses and it gets quieter as we get further away. But in a pipe, it's got nowhere to go, so the sound just keeps, it doesn't get much quieter. I mean, when I was in that sewer we described earlier on, there was an echo there where we measured the sound path. It had taken 3 kilometers, so it's a couple 2 mile round trip for the echo. So you can get huge long distances traveled in pipes. I guess this reverberance might depend on where the pipe is in the water tower. Is it near the center of the, because I presume this tower is a cylinder. Is it near the center or near the edge or something like that?
It's almost like a funnel. So it funnels the sound into the pipe.
Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, there's a cave in Italy called the Ear of Dionysus, which is a funnel shape. And the story there is that Dionysus was this tyrant from sometime in BC. I can't remember the exact date. And he used to, so it's sort of upside down version of your water tower. And he used to have a little cave at the top of this sort of ear shaped cavern. And in the bottom, he used to put prisoners. And the top, he used to spy on them because it used to funnel the sound. It's not known if it's true, this story, or not, but it's a great story anyway.
Wow. Well, Ted, thanks for those stories from working in the water tanks. Let's go on to Don in La Crosse. Don, welcome to Central Time.
Hi. We used to live in Florida for a number of years, and we go over to watch the shuttle launches, and we stand on a spot on the beach about 10 miles south of the Cape, and the sound, we'd be on the beach with surf coming in and highway noise next to us, and once the sound from the shuttle hit us, it drowned out everything. It was amazingly loud, but it was not the roar you expect. It was a snapping, popping, crackling noise. I wonder if Trevor's done any work on rocket noise.
No, I've not really worked at rocket noise. Do you think you were hearing the sonic boom? Because, of course, space-based rockets are one of the things which will give you a sonic boom.
It was just a constant crackling, snapping, really constant. I don't think the shuttle had not reached supersonic speeds at that point. It was just from the launch.
And it just overpowered all of the other sounds around you, too.
Everything. And we were 10 miles south of it.
Wow. So it was like you were hit by a wave of sound.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, space rockets certainly are, in terms of man-made sounds, they're probably one of the loudest, if not one of the loudest that we ever make. And I mean, in nature, probably the nearest you'd ever get to that would be some volcanoes going off. So, yeah, the space shuttle was incredibly loud.
Well, thanks, Don, for that story. The space shuttle is an interesting sound to hear taking off. We're talking about sounds with Trevor Cox. He's a professor of acoustic engineering and the author of the sound book, The Science and Sonic Wonders of the World. Let's go to Steve from Libertyville, Illinois. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, yeah. Trevor, I was up in Houghton, Michigan in Quincy Mine. It's an old mine, and there's a huge metal drum that they would use to coil the cable around when they to operate the mine. I went in there one day with my acoustic guitar, and I was playing in the room there, and with the metal drum in the room, it just had a really unusual reverberation. In fact, one of the the tour guy kind of peeked his head around the corner to see what I was doing. And I've always wanted to get back up there and maybe bring a recorder or something and record some of my guitar up there.
Well, Steve, thanks for that story. Trevor, playing an acoustic guitar in a mine, have you ever done that?
No, I play the saxophone normally, and I've played it in some fairly strange places, like under bridge archways, but not in a mine ever. But the thing, it's very, you know, you can get some really beautiful conditions to play in. I mean, we all kind of do it. When we go into the shower in the morning, you know, if we want to have a sing there, we'll know we'll sound much better than we will do if we go and sing, you know, elsewhere in the house, because of the effect of the shower reinforcing our voice and making it sound like this, in my case, a great baritone singer, which I'm not. So the same thing can happen to mine. It reinforces sound, and this sort of reinforcement is something we seem to like, this reverberation, which is fundamental to music. It's not just in classical music. If you look at pop music production, the first thing they'll do when they record a singer's voice is add some reverberation to make the voice richer.
Well, Trevor, thanks so much. It's a great introduction to the concept of paying more attention to sound. Thanks so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking to Trevor Cox. If this is a sort of piqued your interest in sounds, you ought to check out his sound book. It's called The Sound Book, The Science and Sonic Wonders of the World. He also has a website, which is called sonicwonders.org.